2. From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio, it's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
DJ Pittenger on Thursdays. News a few days ago, Clemson has also filed suit against the ACC, and we spent a lot of time on this Wednesday, TJ, but haven't gotten your thoughts yet on it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was super surprising. You know, I think that everybody kind of anticipated that it would happen at some point, and, you know, I think that... I think it made sense for Clemson. I think it makes sense for Clemson. I think, you know, timing-wise, you know, I think it was probably smart for them to wait and see kind of what the ACC argued for and against Florida State. You know, what's crazy, Bill, is the ACC is arguing two different things. Now, this is minutia, but the ACC is arguing two different things in their North Carolina court case and their Florida court case against Florida State. Like, their arguments are in certain aspects, right? Their main argument of just, hey, we don't want to do this is what it is. But in certain aspects, they are literally arguing both sides of the coin because of what they're trying to get accomplished, right? In North Carolina, they want the case to continue to be heard. And in Tallahassee, they want it to be thrown out. And so they are literally arguing both sides of the coin in different court cases, which is fine, right? Like, you're allowed to do that. Like, the court, it's not like, you know, you're talking with two members of the same body that you have to keep your story straight. Well, I mean, Clemson's using that. Clemson is using that in their lawsuit, basically saying, which Florida State can't. Like, you can't go to the North Carolina judge and say, like, hey, well, he said this in Florida, but Clemson can. Clemson can take a removed aspect and say, like, or a removed angle and say, like, they're not even being consistent. Like, they're arguing two different things just to try and win something. Like, they're not even, you know, a house divided against amongst itself. So anyway, yeah, I think timing's really good for them. I think seeing what the ACC was going to argue against Florida State, how the ACC was going to argue against Florida State, our reasons they delayed, kind of being on the inside, still part of the meetings, still part of the discussions internally that Florida State's not allowed to be in right now is helpful, all the while knowing that this is going to eventually happen. And then, you know, I think it was strategically done. A lot of people have pointed to, well, it was done 2 days after the college football playoff stuff started leaking out. I mean, you don't get a lawsuit like this together in 2 days. So I don't necessarily know. People are saying that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe timing-wise, they strategically did it then just to kind of prove a point. But, you know, I think it was ready well before that. And it was just kind of dotting your I's and crossing your T's, right? But, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, I'm not surprised. And, you know, don't be surprised if it's not the last one. I've heard rumblings that UNC might be right around the corner from getting underway with something on their end, too.
I'm wondering what the ACC's long game is here, because we all know this is all about eventually getting to a number that they can agree to. No telling what that number is, but somewhere south of 570 million, right? Somewhere south of that, maybe halfway. But what is their intention right now? Because I think both sides know the other one's not going to blink for a while.
Yeah, I think that the ACC's, which, you know, to be very fair, you and I are trying to think like rational men, and the ACC saw this coming for years and did nothing to, you know, do anything. So trying to put rational lenses on a conference that is in this position because of bad leadership is probably not the best thing for me and you to do, but we're going to try and do it anyway. I think that their play is to try to visibly remain as strong as they possibly can so that they don't lose everybody, right? So, that, you know, like, they know that Florida State's gone, Clemson's gone, UNC's gone, Miami's probably gone at some point, Virginia's probably gone at some point. But if they can retain some of those programs and then, like, keep all of the bottom feeders, like, keep all of, like, the teams that would end up going to the Big 12, I think if they can, you know, kind of create a little posture and try and create a little, like, hey, we're going to make your life H-E-L-L, you know, hell to go through. If you join these guys, then maybe they can salvage some bit of their conference, right? Like, maybe they can keep it together enough to just kind of be a group of five level conference and go from there. Like, that, to me, that's, I mean, they know it's going to end with Florida State in some kind of settlement. And honestly, like, whether it ends in $200 million or $250 million or $300 million, like, long-term, like, that doesn't really matter, right? Like, that money's going to get dispersed. That money's going to it doesn't really matter for the long-term, right? Like, in 5 years, we're not going to be like, oh, wow, glad they got that extra $50 million. So, yeah, I think their play is to try and remain as strong visibly as they can, fight this as hard as they can in the public arena, all the while knowing they're going to settle so that they can try and discourage teams like Miami and programs like NC State and Louisville and Pitt from running off to another conference too. They know the Big Two are leaving. Can they keep everybody else together?
TJ, I think in early 25, maybe February, ESPN has the option to make a decision on their ACC relationship past 2027. I think that's right. To me, that is a big deal. I mean, that's a future difference-making survivability decision that they've got coming up in less than a year, from what I understand.
Yeah, and can you see any scenario, any realistic scenario, right? Like, yeah, there are probably some crazy scenarios out there. But, like, is there anything in your mind that makes you think that they would do that they would take that option and extend that with Clemson and Florida State very likely not? I mean, Clemson and Florida State are not going to be in the ACC in 2027. Will there be an ACC in 2027 is probably a better question, which I actually think there will be. I'm not saying the conference will die by then, but is there any chance that ESPN extends that? I mean, I don't see a scenario where they do.
And my point is, TJ, it would behoove them to get something done in this agreement within a year.
You're saying the ACC with ESPN?
Yeah. No, ACC with Florida State and then Clemson and whoever else. It behooved them within this year to get a deal done while they still have a little bit of power.
Yeah, I think the big problem is they're you know, between a rock and a hard place, right? Like, to be cliche, you get a deal done with Florida State and the ACC and Clemson, and then ESPN looks at it and says, like, okay, well, you just made your, say you get 250 from them each, you just made $500 million off of those two programs, but now you don't have those two programs in your conference. Like, we're out. Like, you know, so then you lose the TV revenue that you would have had, right, with ESPN, and you got to go see if, or they renegotiated way down lower, and you're kind of back where back where you started. You're significantly less than everybody else, and you're significantly less at that point probably than even the Big 12. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they need to get the deal done quickly because uncertainty is not, I mean, ESPN, I just don't think ESPN is going to renew either way, whether it's whether there's certainty or uncertainty with what's going on with Florida State and Clemson. Like, I just don't know what their incentive would be to renew at that deal when they could, man, if those two programs are gone, they could renew it a fraction of it, you know, to a third, you know, maybe half, at best case for the ACC. Because, again, I don't think those are going to be the only two teams going. If North Carolina and Miami were somehow to go, like, you know, I don't want to offend any of your Boston College listeners, so I don't know how many are tuned in today, but I don't know what's even worth it. What's even left in the conference if those four go?
Jim in Jupiter, Florida, wants to know, TJ, what are you hearing about Earl Little? He goes on to say it sounds like the coaches think he has star potential.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and on Earl specifically, I'll get to. But, you know, I think this year in the portal, they obviously got DJU, they got Marvin Jones Jr. But outside of those two names, I don't think there's as much, like, star power. Like, when we got Jared Verse, like, everybody in the country wanted that kid. When we got Keon Coleman, everybody in the country wanted that kid, right? And so this year, I think there are going to be some guys that, like, shock people. And I think Earl Little is, you know, I said all that to say, I think Earl Little is one of those guys. You know, Pat Surtain and some of the guys at Florida State have talked about, like, man, when they turned on the tape, they thought he was one of the best corners they'd ever seen in high school. And he still has all of that ability. And, you know, it's just, at Bama and Georgia and even Ohio State to a degree, like, there's such a treasure trove of riches that, like, you can be an elite player and get buried on a roster, buried on a depth chart. And, man, they're saying the same thing about Malik Benson, the wide receiver that we brought in, who was the number one JUCO prospect. I mean, yeah, obviously, Malik, I will offend some. I was joking about BC folks, but I know there are Bama folks listening. They said that Malik Benson's looking like a superstar. He just didn't have a quarterback that could get him the ball last year. You know, not to offend the Milrow folks out there. But, yeah, I think there are going to be some guys that really shock people in this portal class. And it may not have the star power that other ones had, you know, name recognition-wise. But there's a reason that it's another top three portal class. And Earl Little's going to be really, really good this year.
I don't know if it's the media trying to pour gas on the fire, but they're trying to portray this next 15-day window coming up very shortly as crazier than we think it's going to be.
Yeah, the speculation to talk about. I mean, I know you've talked about it, but the Caden Proctor thing is, listen, I'm not disparaging a kid because I don't really care. But it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in college football. Like, it is that saga. What he has done. And they're not even kids, right? Like, they're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're over 18, right? They're not kids, so I don't care. I'll say what I want. That's stupid. And he's dumb. Like, that's just an idiotic. I mean, I don't even blame you for going back to Bama, but just, like, what are we doing? Like, what is the sport? But, yeah, people say it could get crazier than that, so we'll see, man. Buckle up.
TJ, tell everybody how they can get your content.
Double fries, no slaw, everywhere. We've got some conference realignment stuff that's dropped on YouTube, so let's check it out.
All right, man. See you next week.
See you, buddy.
Dave Hooker, we go from Tampa. We go from Hillsborough County to Knox County. Rocky Top. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're still looking live at this 18-wheeler that crashed this morning down in Williamson County, the Spring Hill area. It's 840 eastbound ramp to 65 northbound. It's just dangling off the interstate there. And what cargo it was carrying slid out the back. So it's going to be out here for the rest of the morning, guaranteed, possibly for a while longer after that. Again, it's 840 eastbound ramp to 65 north here in Williamson County. Still crawling sometimes on 65 southbound down through Millersville. It's building pretty good now. The Hermitage area, all that traffic coming in from Wilson County, Mount Juliet, arriving there in Hermitage on 40 going westbound. Princess Hot Chicken's got you covered with catering. Check them out today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
And now Comstock & Sons Construction is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Comstock & Sons Construction. For all your residential remodeling needs, give the pros a call today and ask about their military and senior discounts. 931-703-5623. 931-703-5623. That's Comstock & Sons Construction. They're professionals who care.
It's a Bill King Show.
We are college football centric. That is the sun that warms our planet that we live on. Our planet actually isn't flat or round. It's an oblong spheroid. And we are here to proselytize about it, edify it every day on this here radio show.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Hashtag fat side up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Hey, Hooker. Off the Hook Sports on Thursdays joins us. We will get to football, spring practice, all of that, but basketball tournament starts today for me, Thursday, Friday. I love the first couple of days of the tournament. Exciting. Starts early, finishes late. Rick Barnes is incredibly safe at Tennessee. Wouldn't suggest otherwise, but what pressure is there to show postseason success?
I would say that there's a lot of internal pressure. I agree with you. He's not going to ever get fired if he's putting together top five type of teams. And
right.
It's really a weird position to be in. And sometimes you see this in the NFL when you overpay a quarterback, you're kind of in that middle spot where Tennessee is certainly not bad enough to make a change. As a matter of fact, I think they're fifth or sixth best odds to win the national title, or maybe seventh, eighth. And, but you still have to look at his resume, just one Final Four, and that includes a career with Kevin Durant. A lot of great teams that didn't make it very far, and I think there's fair criticism about him running his team into the ground late into the season with continued long practices, but most coaches would take their foot off the gas. So I think there's fair criticism all around, but I don't think there's any real pressure. I think the fans will kind of throw their hands up in the air if Tennessee stumbles early in the tournament and start thinking about football season and, to some extent, recruiting.
We've got our own bracket challenge. Time in Myrtle Beach set it up through ESPN, their bracket challenge. And coincidentally, And I don't really have faith in this, but I've got Tennessee in the championship against Connecticut, and he's got him against Bruce. He's got him against Auburn. Now, the odds of that happening probably aren't very good. Connecticut might well be a good idea, but you think that's a little too optimistic there, Dave?
Well, I think based off history, Rick Barnes getting past the Sweet 16 is a little optimistic. But when I look at this team, if they weren't wearing orange jerseys, if they weren't Tennessee, and you just said, look at this team compared to that team, to that team, to that team, I would say, yeah, they've got a pretty good shot at making a run. It is funny to me how this is one of Tennessee's all-time special teams by a lot of people, right? And there was only one game difference between them and Kentucky. And to Kentucky and to their fan base, this season was looked at as kind of a, meh, this ain't that great. So it is funny how perspective can change a lot, and it's just hard for me to take. History tends to repeat itself, and unless he's taking his foot off the gas in practice and with some of the preparations for games, and unless this team's really fresh, maybe they threw the SEC tournament. A lot of people are throwing that out there. They didn't play well against Kentucky, though, the week before. If they're refreshed and they look good, then maybe Rick Barnes is changed his approach towards the end of the season, but I just got to see it to believe it.
Bitcoin Playboy, who is a Tennessee fan down in Athens, Georgia, says, Bill, ask Dave if he can be at least a bit optimistic about the Tennessee secondary.
Oof. Okay. I'll give you the reason to be optimistic. Okay. And this is something that doesn't happen a lot at bigger programs like Tennessee. I think there's a good chance that the guys they had, and they lost seven people from the secondary, either via transfer or heading on to the pros, out of eligibility, whatever the case may be, including all of the starters. But I think most of those guys were quite simply not athletic enough to play at a high level in the SEC on a regular basis. So, in order to be optimistic, I will tell you that I think Tennessee in the secondary will be more athletic. That does not mean that they will be better. That does not mean that they'll play with good discipline. That does not mean they have good ball skills. Well, it kind of does. But at the end of the day, I do think they'll be considerably more athletic than they've been since Josh Heupel has been here and Tim Banks has been the defensive coordinator.
Think you did a piece on this. The defensive line has a chance to be outstanding, and they're deep, too.
They're deep, and I'll throw a name at you just for funsies. The guy to watch that could take them from really good to great, and there are some people saying that they might have, well, Tim Banks is saying that, Tennessee's defense coordinator, but I've talked to some people who tend to agree, one of the best defensive fronts in the country. But I'll give you a name to look out for, Elijah Simmons. This is a contract year for Elijah. He's ready to go to the NFL. He's huge, 330 pounds, the strongest guy on the team. And he has just been beset by injuries. I'm not questioning anybody's injuries, Bill, but you tend to play through more of that stuff when money's on the line. So that's the name I would look for. Obviously, there's the James Pierces of the world, and we could talk about a lot of other guys up front. But watch for Elijah Simmons this year and in spring camp. Don't be surprised if you get some positive reviews from Josh Heupel in his press conference, and don't be surprised if he's a way different player this fall.
Big, wide body space eater who's pretty athletic when he wants to be. The knock on him, and you've touched on it, and I think we've talked about it prior, is the want to. Some people question his heart.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Then you get into that realm of just how nicked up was he last year? Because there's a fine line between being hurt and injured, but you've got to know the difference, and you've got to take yourself out of games. And not just for your own sake, but for the sake of your team. So we'll see. But I do think ability-wise, he kind of is in that same position as offensive tackle Darnell Wright a couple of years ago, when in the offseason he has all the talent in the world. He turns in one good year, or to go back even further, Reggie White. If he turns in one good year, he can really get paid.
Sounds like, Dave, that, and you're there every day, I'm not, Lance Hurd is left tackle, correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I don't see that changing at all right now. And you'll have Andre Kurik at left guard, and it's time for him to step up. And I don't think there's any question about that. And I think that left side's pretty good. It's interesting to me that they take John Campbell and move him from left tackle to right tackle. And they've done that for, a couple of years in a row now, taking their starting left tackle 1 year and moved it to right tackle. It's interesting. It's nothing I've never seen before, but it's worked. So I questioned in the beginning, and now I'm all on board. I think that was pretty obvious. Campbell sent out some social media with him in a right tackle stance, and we made a big deal about it, but I've been told by people inside the program that is the direction they're going.
Might as well toss in the obligatory "How is Nico looking?" question.
This report's brought to you by "How is Nico looking?" I think he looks fantastic. I would have told you that last year, though. It was weird when they opened the spring camp and they had the press conference, and I think there was only one question about Nico. I don't want to go too far, but Bill, he's almost, in my mind, a given to at least be a top four quarterback in the SEC this year and probably top two. I could be proven wrong, but I have not heard one thing behind the scenes, whispers, off the record, anything like that, to make me believe that he won't live up to the vast majority of the hype. But, boy, there's been a lot of hype.
Did you see the Greg McElroy critique? And I think he was being objective. I don't think he was just trying to be rude and loud. But he said a couple of things about the bowl game bothered him, and one was his escaping early from the pocket and not reading his route tree.
Greg McElroy's been a quarterback. He knows more than I do about football. I didn't get the sense that he was leaving the pocket early. However, if he was, and McElroy's right, and he may very well be, that was his first start. And I mean, if that's the knock with the way he played, that he leaves the pocket early, almost a lot of great quarterbacks did that. I bet going back, John Elway did that. So I don't think that's an indicator that he's going to be a tuck and run guy. No way. He'll be much closer to Bryce Young, who I thought his first year as a starter held onto the ball actually a little bit too long with his eyes downfield. And I never have that criticism about anybody. He took that and turned into what he was, which is clearly a Heisman winner that year. And I think that Nico will err more on that, in that he'll more likely keep his eyes downfield and maybe get sacked a time or two this upcoming season when he should have just tucked. But I think he has a good sense, like Hendon Hooker, unlike Joe Milton, of when to run and when to throw.
Best I remember, he got sacked 5 times in the first half, I think, of that Iowa game. I mean, it was...
Well, if you are running at that point, I mean, maybe you should. I mean, you prepare, if you're Iowa, you prepare for Joe Milton, so you don't think that Tennessee's quarterback can make those throws, and turns out he can, so then you're focused on getting pressure. But again, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think he has a really good presence about him on the field.
Just because it's coming up here shortly, the 15-day next portal window, and the media, if you'll notice, they're beating the drum that this could be crazier as a spring portal, 2-week window, 15-day window, than people think. I don't know if they're just doing that for the hype or if they believe it. Is Tennessee somewhat active there at all?
I don't think they'll be incredibly active there, because I really believe that Tennessee, for the first time under Josh Heupel, heading into a, let's call it a fiscal season, I believe he likes his talent level. Now, that's not to say that somebody couldn't have a bad spring camp and find a bench, but he thinks they're good enough to play for Tennessee. I mean, that's a possibility, but I think if you look at his track record in the short time that we've had transfer portal, I think he's more intent on getting guys in the January transfer portal so they can go through spring camp. I go back, and his name escapes me. Was it T. Lynn Dixon, the running back who came to Tennessee for roughly 2 weeks and was jettisoned? I think that Josh Heupel is very mindful of the culture that they have, and he'd be afraid to bring in somebody that might make waves this time of year unless he's just a really special athlete and you take a chance on him. I also think if you took somebody this portal period, I think that you would want to have a guy that's going to be around for at least a couple of years, because I don't know how much you're going to contribute in year one.
Miles, we'll get your thoughts on Caden Proctor, apparently, allegedly, now heading back to Alabama.
You know, it's funny what Alabama fans can do when they realize that players will not take the Saban discount when Nick Saban's not around. So it sounds like they got their NIL in order, and Caden Proctor, give him some credit. He used leverage. He walked out the door. You've been in a contract negotiation before, Bill. You got to be willing to walk out the door, and he was not only willing but did. Now he's back.
Boy, I know, and a lot of people are opining on this, and I don't know, I'm not up in Iowa City, but there is some critique that he took their money, and then I've seen a few people say, no, they hadn't really given him much yet.
So if you don't protect your backside on that, that's your fault. I mean, I think that there needs to be contract verbiage that says, if you bolt, this money is not guaranteed. And if they're giving him monthly payments, I don't understand why they just wouldn't stop the check at this point. So I've heard some of that. Did he take some cash from those guys? Well, it sounds like you got two schools that don't know how to deal with NIL, because you've got one school who couldn't pony up the dollars to keep him because they were used to having a guy named Nick Saban, and now suddenly NIL is a thing they have to deal with. And you've got another school who's making financial promises and maybe even payments to a guy who's eventually walking out the door. So it sounds like me that you've got two very novice NIL schools at the time. Maybe Alabama will change. It probably will. It probably already has. But they didn't have to worry about NIL nearly as much when Nick Saban was at the helm.
The theory is Nick would not overpay, and Alabama, because they're Alabama, and Nick could get by with it, right?
Yeah, and if he's going to turn my son, and you've got kids, if he's going to turn my son into an NFL player and that track record is there, and it obviously is, do you take 75% of what you could get from somebody else to go to Alabama? I think you probably do. I think that saving discount's a smart, prudent move, but that's just not a factor anymore. There's not a DeBoer discount, and I don't think there's going to be one anytime soon.
Tell everybody what they can do to get all your content.
Just go to offtheooksports.com. Offtheooksports.com, streaming show at 10 a.m. Eastern every day, all your podcast platforms. And we like to write a little bit, too, so you can check out my thoughts on the Lady Vols and Rick Barnes, who I can't help but root for heading into the tournament.
See you next week.
See you, buddy.
There he is, Mr. Dave Hooker. J.C. Sherbert, about 20 minutes into Hour 3 on this Thursday edition. Omni.
Good morning. It's building out here where you would expect this time of the morning on 24 westbound. Coming out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, up through the Antioch area. 65 South still wants to be a little bit sluggish from time to time down through Millersville. Now it has really increased over here through Mount Julian, or coming out of Mount Julian into Hermitage on 40 going westbound. Got all that traffic this time of the morning leaving Wilson County towards Nashville. Prince's Hot Chicken is hiring at all their locations. Order online today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bye. buyandtow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyandtow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyandtow.com. That's buyandtow.com.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Guess what? The Cats are back. The Nashville Cats will be returning to the Municipal Auditorium on April 27th in the season opener against the Minnesota Myth. There will be five total games played at Municipal Auditorium, with one additional game played up in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena on Armed Forces Day on Saturday, May 18th. For player or dance team tryouts or tickets, log on to thenashvillecats.com.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
I wish Derrick Henry all the luck in the world. And all I really want from Derrick Henry for me is that in a few years when Derrick Henry retires, I want him to retire as a Titan. I hope that the press conference is called here and there's a gathering over there and everyone cheers for Derrick Henry as he goes off into the sunset, hopefully over to Canton.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNF.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
It will be at the Omni next Friday, a week from tomorrow. Coach Pete with us tomorrow. Coach Pete will be at the Omni also the following week. Coach Pete will be at Spring Commitments May 2nd for a couple of days down there. If you want to meet, talk some ball with Coach Pete. He will be down there. Coach Pete will chop it up. You want to get into X's and O's? You want to get into formations? You want to get into techniques? Quarterback, play, all that stuff. You want to talk about that with Coach Pete? He'll be right there. He loves it. Coach Pete was put on this earth to know that stuff. Topwater Assassin over in South Carolina. Best move that the ACC could make is to let everybody that wants to leave go in football only. Take what's left and try and join the Big 12. He said, but I'd rather have all the non-revenue sports stay in the ACC. Very precarious times for that league. One item that I need to check on, and we touched on it about 20 minutes ago when TJ was with us. I believe ESPN, February of 25, so less than a year, has a look-in clause in their ACC agreement involving the future beyond 2027, which they can opt out. I do believe. And we mentioned it earlier. Would that behoove the ACC to want to get a deal done with Clemson and Florida State and whoever else is lining up, North Carolina, Miami, before then? If you're ESPN, why would you agree beyond 27, the way that league is starting to look, for the same money? Maybe you try and negotiate a lesser number. Maybe you opt out altogether. Don't know. The ACC can learn from the Pac-12. Do not overestimate your importance. Now, they're on some level, some number, they would be attractive. Again, for some number. And you would think that everybody's under the assumption that you're not going to have in that league your football power brands. At least several of them. Florida State and Clemson. Got to remember, about a year ago, the story came out that Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Miami had been talking privately, allegedly, together about their unhappiness. Now, what's also interesting is when it came time to vote to bring in Cal, Stanford, and SMU, only two of those actually remained strong and said, no, we will not vote for this. It's not a good idea, and that was Clemson and Florida State. NC State, was North Carolina, I think North Carolina was there too with the other two, Florida State and Clemson, I think. NC State buckled at the end though, right? And that's what allowed procedurally to bring in Cal, Stanford, and SMU. And the only reason to do that is to preserve the number of teams in the league, because there's also a clause that if you drop, what, under 15, I believe that's right, they can negotiate down the yearly payout. It's going to be interesting. Trey Dog says, Bill, put NIL in contract terms, the ACC agreement is rock solid, and you have rock petters and free shoes suing. Howard's Rock. Rock petters. Well, yes. Yes. That agreement, according to every lawyer that I've heard from ever, says that that contract, that boilerplate, all the wording is ironclad. But here's the problem. Your league is taking on water. And if you're the ACC, knowing Florida State and Clemson and maybe others are gonna jettison, you're better off eventually taking some sort of settlement. $250, I don't know what the appropriate number is, but you're better off. You're not going to keep them. It's not a happy family. We were also mentioning on Wednesday, what's the ACC spring meetings going to be like when you've got a bunch of folks in there that would love to put a knife in your back? I mean, that's going to be, talking about friction in the room. It's been a while since we've taken the show to spring meetings, and I don't want to do it again. It's not worth our time. But that would be, if I knew I could get some interviews out of that, that would be interesting. If I knew that I could get to the ACC meeting, I don't even know where they are this year, spring meetings, and I could get Jim Phillips, and I could get Clemson and Florida State on the record, North Carolina, Miami on the record. Oh. Oh, yeah. there's zero chance that would happen, as we all know, but that'd be worth the trip, whether it's Greensboro or Jekyll Island or wherever. All right, we'll get the break. J.C. Sherbert, a little bit later, hour three.
Good morning. Still pretty crowded right now. Coming down past the airport over here on 40 westbound as all that traffic comes out of Hermitage in through that section of Donelson on 40 west there passing Donelson Pike. It's busy, but it's moving right now. 65 south there at Long Hollow. It was slow a little bit earlier up there in Millersville. Coming down the interstate, it's building pretty good now from Brentwood, Franklin on 65 north up from Williamson County towards South Nashville. Princess Hot Chicken's got you covered with catering. You can order online today at Princess HotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world famous Bar Lines grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding listeners that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Giving equals living, so please consider donating blood today. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
It's JB and the General.
You're 6'9" for Joe Alton and ran a good 40. 5.04, I believe, was.
I think I saw a little bit of his workout. Looked like he was moving around pretty well.
Looked good. I will say this, though. Chargers at 5, he's going to play right tackle for them. So if he makes it past then, maybe you can get him to the Titans at 7, but apparently he's not making it past number 5.
Really?
So it is unfortunate.
Weekdays 9 of 11, live on WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
Kev up in Chicago says, Bill, what do you think about these projections? Now, this is 24/7, and it's projecting where schools will end up if the ACC does assume room temperature as a league. It's got Florida State, Big Ten, Clemson SEC, North Carolina, SEC, Virginia, Big Ten, Miami to the Big 12. Virginia Tech, it says, to be determined. Duke, to be determined. I don't think Duke's got a home. NC State, it's got Big 12. Notre Dame, you know what they say? Independent. I would agree. I would agree. Yeah, I would concur with that. Johnny Vegas says, Bill, did Allen and Tampa threaten to pull your NIL money if you talk college baseball this season? Great slate starts tomorrow, including 19-0 Florida State at Clemson. No. Allen's busy getting his drip down in Fort Myers right now. Then I think next week he's got to go down to Miami. I think that's what he said. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, a bunch of your listeners are going to find out how ironclad that grant of rights is. Florida State's gone. Well, it is ironclad. Doesn't mean that there won't be a settlement. It is ironclad, and they will settle. Both are true. Because the ACC doesn't have any power or enough power here. Let me rephrase that. They don't have enough power to say you're going to be here through 36 and you can sit there and whine and B-word all you want. We don't really care. Here you are. You can't get out of this contract. If they had some power or enough power, they could do that. We can be acrimonious all you want to be. You're going to be here. Pout until 36. Don't sign the next one. But they don't have the power to play that level of hardball. The ACC doesn't. Because they're in wobbly position themselves. Their future is very unclear. Their future is murky. You ever been to Nashville and seen the Cumberland River? Jump in there and go underwater and see how far you can see. Maybe a fourth of an inch. I've never jumped in there and tried. Actually, I have as boating and stuff, but it's been a long time. Probably won't do that again. Yeah, that river that goes through Nashville, downtown area, that's the Cumberland River. Yeah, jump in there and see what the visibility is. Tom in Myrtle Beach. Got to give it. He said, got to give me North Carolina or Clemson in the B1G, so I have a shorter drive to watch my Buckeyes play. It's a good point. That's a very, very good point. On the text line, which is 615-844-5600, NoCal up in Chicago, knowing that their revenue is going to be diminished considerably, let's say what TJ was mentioning. He says by a half, if the remaining 11-12 teams said they would pool $10 million each to be distributed based on value to the league. Says $26 million is better than $18 million. Do you think that could keep the ACC together? No, I don't think there's anything they can do that would make Florida State happy enough to stay unless they came up with some, and this would be beyond a Hail Mary. Unless some entity came in and covered the money and Florida State's now getting $80 million a year. Maybe. And it looked healthy and it looked like it had long-term depth to it, meaning the money and the relationship. Maybe then. But they're gone. Again, Hail Mary would not properly describe what the ACC would need to get a deal like that. It would be a Hail Mary times infinity is what they would need to get that done. They don't have any power to command any money like that. They're lucky, and I'm sure ESPN, if they could talk to you about it, they're probably lucky they're getting what they're getting right now. Did you see where in the playoff terms, meaning the new media deal, they've also said that they're going to give Washington State and Oregon State $6.5 million. Did you see that? They did. That was a nice, kind little gesture. Yeah. Nice little example of benevolence there. I didn't notice that originally. I don't know if you saw that. Yes, true. Hour 3 coming up. JC in about 20 minutes.